Welcome to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and we're high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Christ Cathedral. And wow, I am so excited. I'm jumping up and down. One of my favorite people on the face of the earth, Alexis Wachenstein, who is a publicist, evangelist, all-around incredible person, is here on our show. Welcome, Alexis.
Thank you, Deacon. It's good to be here.
It's been way too long.
I know.
But I can't keep up with you. You're flying here, there, and there. Just give me an idea. How many places, cities have you been? Florida, East Coast, Boston, I mean, everywhere.
I've been everywhere. Last year was a banner year in the country and out of the country. Mexico, Korea, and then everywhere from, you know, Boston, New York, to the West Coast and everywhere in between.
You personify the title of this show, Empowered by the Spirit. And I am so proud to say that I know you and you are my friend and we are on the front lines together.
Yes.
The front lines fighting for life.
Yes.
For mercy. And
yes.
The title of this show is The Divine Mercy Culture. And your movie projects are amazing. I am just so mesmerized by all of them. Tell us about some of the movies you've been part of as a publicist.
Yeah, so I started way back, probably about a decade, and it's been a wild ride because I never imagined that God would lead me into movies. But this is really where I believe the culture is being formed, and God wants to break us out of comfortable routines and do things out of the box to use our fidelity to Him, our love for Him and zeal for Him, after He's kind of broken our own will and trained us in the way to go, and take us to places apostolically. And for me, the apostolic movement was all the way to Hollywood. So movies like Soul Surfer, The Way, For Greater Glory.
For Greater Glory?
For Greater Glory.
I love that movie.
I love it too. One of my favorites.
Anyway, keep going.
Yeah, For Greater Glory, Courageous, some of the evangelical films, building up, you know, men and family life. Last year was a banner year with Unplanned. Little Boy was a movie that kind of positioned me to come to L.A. Captive, a movie about drug addiction with David Oyelowo. The Shack with Octavia Spencer.
Wow.
So lots of movies, and they keep coming. It doesn't end.
And so you've got some really exciting movies coming up, and tell us about them.
Yeah, exciting movies that are coming. Really thrilled about a movie about Our Lady called Fatima, which will be coming out in April, and it's spectacular. I've seen it. It's a beautiful depiction of what happened in Portugal, Fatima, when Our Lady appeared to three children and her message for the world. It's a lot to do with just kind of lifting the veil between heaven and earth and really showing the world that God is present. God is present to us. Our Lady is present to us. So it's going to be a really powerful moment for the church, but also the world, I believe, especially in the times in which we live, to have the message of Fatima proclaimed.
You were one of the inspirations, want the lights of the world. And I mean that. I mean that so seriously. Because like all of us, when you grew up, I mean, you had your own spiritual battles and so forth. And tell us a little bit about your background, and it led you to the church. It led you to the Catholic Church in a major way. It led you to be an evangelist. But tell us about your background.
Well, I grew up in Boston, a suburb of Boston, and, you know, faithful Catholic. My mom was the Catholic formator in the house for my sister and I, and my dad was Jewish. Wachenstein is my last name, so it confuses a lot of people. And because my parents were split in the faith, you know, the duty fell to my mom. But I had the benefit, because of that, to be really adopted by the church. I had an extraordinary grace in my home parish to be really lifted up through spiritual fatherhood. My pastor was an incredible pastor. He gave me incredible opportunities to elevate me toward the larger church, whether it be the Archdiocese of Boston or my first, you know, trip as a high school student was to the National Conference for Catholic Youth in Louisville, Kentucky. And it was the first time that I saw the big church and young people and charismatic bishops and people praying in faith and fidelity. And it was really electrifying for me. A little scary, too, because, you'd come home and you didn't exactly know how to apply these things. We didn't say grace at our meals. It wasn't that kind of a home life, but we had faith. I went to church every week, every Sunday. But then there was more happening for me. One particular Easter Triduum, my mom was adamant that we would go to the whole Triduum, including Holy Thursday. I always went on Good Friday. We'd venerate the cross and, of course, Easter. But I didn't understand the concept of having to be in church for 3 days or Holy Thursday. I wasn't intent on being a nun. I had a couple days off from school, and I thought I was going to go to an under 21 club as a teenager. And I was in a battle with my mother, a real battle. And I could see at that point there were two paths. There were two hands dealt to me. One was the hand of the world, and one was the hand of the Lord. And my mom was battling for my own will, and she broke my will. She said, "No, you're going," and that's it. And what happened for me that night was, of course, we had the Mass, which celebrates the institution of the priesthood and the Eucharist. But afterwards, we processed to the lower church for the exposition of the Blessed Sacrament. I received communion every week, but I don't think it ever really connected from the head to the heart that I was really receiving the living body of Jesus Christ, even though I reverenced it and knew it somehow intellectually as a teenager. But I had a profound encounter that night on Holy Thursday that changed my life really forever. And it made me a daily communicant as much as possible and an adorer of the Lord who manifested to me in such a profound way that it was life altering. And that really set the tone for my life of faith.
Which has been amazing. And from that, you are on the front lines of the battle, and you know you've been chosen, and we've all been chosen, my brothers and sisters. You're listening to this show, Empowered by the Spirit. And take a look at John 15, that whole chapter, the vine and the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. Remain in me and I will remain in you. But chapter 15, verse 16, it is not you who chose me, but I who chose you and appointed you to bear fruit, fruit that will remain. You take that really seriously. You know that God has chosen you. You've been involved in the church, but now, of course, what you're doing in helping change many, many lives.
Yeah, and sometimes I think we can really gloss things over. There was a period of this evangelization when I had given up my career in television and was working for a diocese and then being called into movie work. And there was a period where the movie work stopped, the faith evangelization stopped, and I had a period of pruning where I was not working for an entire year. My agency closed abruptly. It seemed like a catastrophe, but I knew enough in God's fidelity that he didn't take me this far to lead me over a cliff. But in that year of pruning and purification, it led me to a temporary mainstream assignment, which was very dramatic. And I believe that there were multiple things happening in that moment. God needed to use me for a definite purpose for someone who was on the brink of hell, number one. Number two, he needed to break my will again to a greater degree. And he needed to humble me and also really show me in the 7 years that I had been outside of the mainstream working world and doing this evangelization work, where sometimes we can get trapped in our head that it's just a sugary, sweet Pollyanna Swiss Miss thing, God needed to show me in a very concrete way that even in the 7 years that I had said yes to God, that I wasn't fully sold.
Amen.
I wasn't fully sold.
Amen.
He needed to take me further, and he needed to show me the descent of the world, how
Amen.
In 7 years it had gone even lower, and why this work was so critical. He needed to do that for me to take me all the way to LA. He needed my full commitment.
And we're so glad you're here. It's so exciting.
I'm moving to the OC.
Oh, OC. I love this. Alexis Wachenstein, publicist for Unplanned and many Christian movies and many movies out there. Amazing evangelist, amazing person. My brothers and sisters, God has to break you apart and then build you back up again. That's just the way it is. I mean, the bottom line is that you think you've made a decision for Christ. I thought I did at 28. And then God showed me, well, maybe not so much, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we want to have one foot in and one foot out, or think that, you know, to do it the right way, you can compartmentalize things. And God is like, no, 24/7.
24/7. I need all of you.
All of you. All of you.
And the third chapter of Revelation, right? I mean, not hot or cold,
right?
But hot, hot, hot. Otherwise, right. I spit you out of my mouth because you're lukewarm. Now, Now, somebody, I think his name was Peter, was with Jesus the whole time. And weren't you with the Nazarene? Don't know the guy.
Don't know what you're talking about.
Don't know what
it wasn't me.
You know, but that's what happens, is that we may think we're there, but God is showing us over and over again, and he's saying, how much do you love me?
Right. And he loves us so much that he does it very gently. Amen. He doesn't hurt us with the truth. And, you know, my weakness can sometimes be that I get into this hard assignment and I want to run. I want to put, you know, the Nike sneakers on and run right back from where I was sent. And through the grace of God, I've had some very, very strong women, older women, spiritually mature women to disciple me and form me and tough mother me so that I would not vacate my post until the work is done, until God says, I'm moving you somewhere else.
You want to hear one of my favorite scripture verses?
Yes.
And of course, I have about 1,000 of them, but for you.
How could you pick?
And for my listening audience, and this is one you may have heard me say before, and that's Hebrews 10:36. You need perseverance in order to receive what God has in store for you.
That's right.
Perseverance. And because all of us in listening audience, I know you're with us on this, is that the devil, the enemy, our own weakness is constantly trying to say, oh, give up on it, give up on
it.
Don't do it.
Lose your life to save your life is really the drumbeat for me. And there's temptation, depending upon where we are in life. I remember when I gave up my TV career, it probably took me a whole year in the next job working for a bishop, grieving this loss, quote unquote, loss of a worldly career, which was full of empty promises. I was a faithful Catholic living my witness, but I still had this worldly mindset. I had a worldly mindset that needed to be sanitized by the grace of frequent sacraments, not just weekly sacraments, frequent sacraments. And when I worked for the Diocese of Palm Beach, the sacramental life became much more frequent. The discipleship of women around me, the gift that God gave me in my zeal to help transform the church out of its mess, the gift that God gave me was to transform me out of my mess, out of my weaknesses, out of my poor formation, out of my own worldly mindset that says it's better over here, or the world can give you pleasure, the world could give you notoriety, the world could give you power. And God was saying, I'm all power. It doesn't matter if you're hidden here for 25 years. In due time, I will take you and put you on a mountaintop. A city on a hill cannot be hidden.
And Jesus tells us very clearly, without me, you can do nothing. This is Deacon Steve Greco. You're on Empowered by the Spirit. We're going to be right back with Alexis Wachenstein to talk about some of her movie projects and how you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. We'll be right back.
Hey friends, have you had the chance to check out our Empowered by the Spirit Patreon page yet? You're probably wondering, what is that? And what is Patreon? Well, it's a website and kind of a centralized hub of all the happenings and goings-on with Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. Like radio shows with your favorite guest, live conference talks on Catholic faith and spirituality, dynamic videos you can't find anywhere else, and coming very soon, audiobooks and a lot more. Simply go online to patreon.com/spiritfilledhearts. That's P-A-T-R-E-O-N, patreon.com/spiritfilledhearts. Come visit today to see and hear what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Hi, everybody. This is Deacon Steve Greco with Alexis Wachenstein, publicist for many movies such as Unplanned, a good friend, an evangelist, and we're talking about how God does choose you to do amazing, amazing things. But we're also saying it is not an easy ride. And you said something right before the break, is which we have to be all in.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you for your yes, by the way. Thank you. I'd love to say that to people. Aww. Thank you for your yes.
I love coming here.
And the second thing is the fact that perseverance and to have the sacraments, such an important part of our life.
Yes.
How important is reconciliation to you?
Very important. I mean, people think it's an antiquated sacrament, that this is something from the 1950s church or the 1960s or 70s church or their parents' church. And the reality is that every sacrament is where we meet Jesus Christ. And I think it was Father Gabriel Amorth, who is the chief exorcist for the Vatican, said that confession is a more profound exorcism than an exorcism. So when we seek the reconciliation with Jesus Christ through the sacrament, we are receiving deliverance. And so all those graces are pouring down. We want to be able to avail ourselves to confession, the Eucharist, as much as possible.
The closer you strive for holiness, and remember, we are told to be holy. We're also told in Ephesians 1 that we were created to be holy, to be set apart, to receive every spiritual blessing. The more you strive for holiness, the more you see how much you need reconciliation.
It's true. And there have been so many powerful things that have happened for me in the sacrament. It's not our favorite thing to do. I mean, we don't want to go to the doctor, but, you know, Fulton Sheen says, like, we trust the doctor for our physical ailments, and we have to trust Jesus for our spiritual sickness. And this is how powerful confession is. It was like 2 years ago, I was invited to speak in Newport Beach to a group of parents at a retreat, like maybe 90 people. And it was probably a group of women that weren't necessarily in super high formation, but they were doing something during Lent. And I was asking the Lord, what did he want me to talk about to these ladies? And I kept getting this pounding sensation that he wanted me to talk about confession and forgiveness and what confession does to unlock his mercy and what it does for just rebuilding not only our relationship with him, but with each other. And so I was praying in advance, and I was praying on the way down and praying so heavily. When I arrived to the venue, you know, like an hour, 45 minutes early, and a woman came over and she said, "I'm sorry, who are you?" And I said, "I'm the speaker for today." And she said, "Are you Alexis?" And I said, "I am." And she said, "Well, you called this morning and canceled yourself. You canceled. You said you weren't coming."
Wow.
And to me, that was significant of how much the devil did not want to hear that message.
Wow.
And what happened at this event, I didn't exactly know the direction or how raw it was going to be, but God has really been communicating to me in a particular way about being vulnerable before our brothers and sisters, about really sharing the vulnerable places that where God has had access to us to bring transformation. And so there were a couple of real examples of divine mercy in my family life and forgiveness in my personal life that I shared testimony, and the power of prayer, the power of Our Lady Undoer of Knots, the power of the divine mercy, the power of corporal works of mercy, even when you're performing these works of mercy on someone who doesn't even seem worth the right time of day, how the Lord works through the body of Christ. And of those 90 or some odd women, about 75 of them stampeded me at the end, telling me that they hadn't been to confession in either over 10 years or 13 years or 25 years, that there were family members in their lives that they hadn't spoken to for decades, some of them tremendously broken. And what God was doing that day was communicating a message of love, a message of mercy, a message of reconciliation through the sacrament, number one, through the practice of the sacraments and not taking these things lightly. This is not a club. Catholicism is not a club. And to reform people who have not been hearing the message. And that's why someone attempted to cancel me that day, because the message was going to be so profound.
Wow. So I recently wrote a book. I've written 5 books. My most recent is Miracles Through Forgiveness.
Wow.
The notoriety of this is amazing. We have a church interested in buying 4,000 copies.
Praise God.
I mean, everyone. And because we talk about God's mercy, God's forgiveness, reconciliation. Forgiveness is a cornerstone of mercy, because we have to understand that Jesus has died and rose again that we may have eternal salvation. He has forgiven us. We must forgive ourselves. We must forgive other people. And we must forgive God for not being the God, Santa Claus, that we necessarily want him to be. But God knows what's best. And why is forgiveness so important again?
I believe forgiveness is of course, because he wants us to be an imitation of himself. We are the visible representation of Jesus on the earth, so we have to have the qualities that Jesus has. So his greatest attribute, I believe, is his mercy, and his mercy is played out on the cross. He didn't deserve it. He didn't deserve what he was dealt, and he freely accepted it and went through every part of Calvary. So in the same way, we can't have acts of forgiveness or even acts of mercy with any condition. We have to do these things in total freedom. It's in that freedom where we say, Lord, do with me as you will. I serve this man or woman who doesn't deserve anyone's love. They don't deserve it, but I'm going to show them love. I'm going to do this act by the grace of God. And the transforming power of God is there.
You know, it's interesting when you take a look at 2 Corinthians 3:15 and following, it talks about a veil lying over our hearts. Mm. But when we turn to Jesus, the veil is removed. And the next line, which is verse 17, 2 Corinthians 3:17, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom.
That's right.
The word that
freedom.
You said, freedom.
Freedom.
And when we have freedom, it's because we have surrendered our heart, our mind, our soul to Jesus. We have embraced forgiveness. We've embraced reconciliation. We've embraced the Eucharist. Why is receiving the body and blood of Christ every single day so important?
When we receive the body and blood of Christ, we receive the true food come down from heaven. We are in full communion with God. We have the power. Greater is he that is in me that is in the world. I fear no one when I'm living with him beating and living inside me. What do we fear when we carry him? When we carry him to the next room or to the next country, we are transporting. We are like a living monstrance, like Our Lady when she visited Elizabeth. She was the first monstrance, the carrier of Jesus within her. We have the same capacity to be like Our Lady and to receive, to consume, to chew on him, to have power that we didn't have before. And this is what people don't understand. We're living in a world where there's so much false power. I really get on this tangent a lot. Reiki, New Age, yoga, mindfulness, and power of positive thinking, and these self-help gurus, you know who they are, and they have hundreds of thousands of millions of followers, and they want you to chant certain chants and do cheerleading moves in massive stadiums. This is not the way to have power. The power is through the cross. All power is through the cross and through his sacrament. On the cross, his side was opened up and the blood and water gushed forth. That is the drink that we receive when we receive him. Calvary comes down on the altar through the one eternal act in the Mass. There's one Mass, it's Calvary, and we are united to that Calvary, the power that brings the resurrection. If we fully know this, we would be there as often as possible.
Hallelujah.
Right?
You know, my heart is just overjoyed. My soul is just leaping for joy. I mean, the bottom line is amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. But it's interesting. A good friend of mine, we were talking the other day, and I talked about the Lord's Prayer and give us this day our daily bread. And I said, well, you know, Jesus called himself the bread of life. He goes, what? He said, you mean that's talking about Jesus? That's talking about how we are to have Jesus every day?
Yeah.
Every day in our heart. You see, the Eucharist give us that bread every day through the Mass. It is not an option. As often as you possibly can, my brothers and sisters, build yourself up to make a difference and receive the body and blood of Christ every single day. Now, recently, we've had a horrible tragedy, and those that have been in Southern California feel like Kobe was our best friend.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I grew up a Laker fan and so forth, and he was in Newport Beach, and
right.
We're in Irvine, and we're real close and so forth. And I mean, what a tragedy. But think about God's mercy as we're talking about, again, the divine mercy culture, the life, the love of Jesus Christ and his mercy. 7 o'clock that morning, he and his daughter are in church receiving the body and blood of Christ before that flight. What does the message of Kobe mean to us?
I think it's remarkable because we don't understand when we see someone who's so powerful and physically perfect and has it all, and it's like a giant has fallen, right? And we don't understand, you know, someone in their 40s in the prime of their life seemingly with so much more to do. And yet, as I'm consuming so many of the stories and weeping over many of them, I feel like God just... for whatever reason, he had to be in the perfect state for the Lord to be able to take him, right? Number one. Number two, his life is becoming more of a testimony right now in his death than it ever was, perhaps, in life, as we're exposed to the depth of who Kobe really was. I grew up a Celtics fan and
You were close to being perfect.
The Green Machine and me, Kobe and the Lakers were our arch nemesis. So I had this eye on Kobe, obviously. I think all Bostonians had their eye on Kobe. Yeah, the world had their eye on Kobe. But being here is really interesting. And I remember when the initial stories broke about his troubles and allegations and being a teenager and kind of, you know, that's what the kind of your last impression. You know, I didn't follow the whole story to the newness of what it is now. And I am amazed and edified and in love with the God of all of us, the God of Kobe, who is so loving and so merciful. And what is the scripture? He chastens the one he loves. He had Kobe in the palm of his hand. How many of us sin and make grave error, but how many of us avail ourselves to the love of Christ to such a degree in humility to face these things dead on and to let Jesus, as Kobe said in his own words, carry his cross?
And some people have come out since and saying, well, look at the sins he did and whatever. My brothers and sisters, we're all sinners, but it's what we do.
Yes.
After that.
Yes.
Do we get up? Do we learn from it?
Yes.
Do we go to reconciliation? Do we repent? And Kobe did that.
He did all of that. He transformed his life, and he was not a showboat about it. He would stay in the back. He would come in a little after the procession so that people weren't distracted, and he would leave before, you know, the closing song to not make it about a spectacle about him. He really loved the Lord, and he amended everything with his wife and his family. And he was an amazing father. He had his priorities straight. He knew the person of Jesus Christ. He definitely was a man that knew the person of Jesus Christ, who carried him through a horrific scandal, whether it was true or not true, whether partially true, it didn't matter, because Jesus died as if Kobe were the only one. And that's the message for all of us. I think what people are seeing is not just a man of faith, but that God is a God of second chances.
Amen. And my brothers and sisters, another favorite scripture is in the book of James that says, our life is but a vapor appearing briefly and disappearing. For many of us, we look at Kobe at age 41 and how quickly it came that he passed on. Every day that we have is a blessing and gift from Jesus, but we can't waste it. We're going to be right back. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're Empowered by the Spirit. We're talking about the Divine Mercy Culture with Alexis Wachenstein, and we are going to talk about why Bishop Fulton Sheen is important to you when we come right back. My brothers and sisters, I have something very exciting in addition to what we've talked about to talk to you about, and that is a new book that I've written called Be Not Afraid. I was so motivated by the Lord to write this book as the coronavirus, the COVID-19 was breaking, to give people hope, to give people faith. It is a book that isn't terribly long, 116 pages. But it is easy reading, but it's powerful reading. It is a book with power of the Holy Spirit to give you how to have faith in the midst of fear, how to have courage, how to turn to the Blessed Mother, how to turn to the Holy Spirit, how to let Jesus fill in your hearts and souls. Be Not Afraid is exactly what the title is about. It is about having faith. It is about having courage. It is not about fear. As Scripture says, perfect love drives out all fear. Now, what is our program on Be Not Afraid? We are soliciting donors that will help us. We are really discounting it tremendously because we want to give these out for free. The book is discounted from $15 to $5 a book with a minimum order of 100 books. And if you order 100 books, you can give them out to your friends, you can give them out to various ministries that you're part of, and we're hoping the entire parish will adopt it. So, for example, if you have a parish, you can get together some people and donate the books for free for your parish, and it's called Be Not Afraid. You can see it online right now on Kindle Amazon. We have a Kindle book, Be Not Afraid, you could take a look at if you want to read the content. But this is a book that we really want parishes to adopt because people need hope right now and they need tools on how not to be afraid. So please contact us at DeaconSteve@SpiritfulHearts.org. Contact us at DeaconSteve@SpiritfulHearts.org. Go to our website, SpiritFilledHearts.org, and find a way of supporting us. And please thank you in advance for supporting us in prayer. Thank you in advance for supporting us financially and to having a gift given to your parish. God bless you all. Hi, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're back on Powered by the Spirit. And wow, you see, I normally get one wow wow, but for you, two wow.
Two wow wow.
With Alexis Wachenstein, who is an amazing publicist for movies such as Unplanned, a movie coming up, Fatima, other movies that she's involved with. But she's an evangelist. She's someone who loves the Lord, has made such a big difference, and an author. And you wrote a book on someone who changed your life.
He did.
Tell us about that story. Tell us about the book. And why is it so important that we embrace Bishop Fulton Sheen?
Bishop Fulton Sheen, he is my hero, one of them, right alongside John Paul II. And I didn't really know him and Deacon Steve.
Okay,
yes.
Okay, just checking.
Okay, yes. Deacon Steve, Deacon okay. Steve, John
I'm
Paul.
I'm way down
and
there.
Bishop Sheen.
I'm way down
it's
there.
It's a trifecta.
Okay. Okay.
So Bishop Sheen, I mean, he's of my parents' generation. How could you possibly have like a fascination with Bishop Sheen? Well, sometimes you choose the saints that you love and are attracted to, and sometimes they choose you. And that's really what happened in the case of Fulton Sheen. I had purchased a book on my way to my new assignment in Palm Beach called Three to Get Married, because I'm praying for a husband. And I was going to work for a bishop, which was a completely foreign concept, even though I had bishops that were friends and priests that were friends. I said, dead holy bishop, this guy can help me on two fronts. You know, my new job working for a bishop in Florida, and also to find me the man that I'm praying for, a man of God. And so that was the beginning. And I threw the book in the trunk, never really looked at it for a couple of years until it just came forth. And I was confronted. I heard God say, you can't have a vocation to marriage and not prepare for it. So I started to really read the book, which prompted me to really develop this relationship with Bishop Sheen. I was really praying to him for my diocese, for the renewal of the church. There were so many things that were wrong with the church. There was a lot of catechism and instruction that was not happening. So we were seeing the disaster with priests. We were seeing the disaster with sacramental index with marriage and divorces. And I thought he is definitely a bishop for the renewal of the church. And so I began to be much more intentional in my prayers. And one thing led to another. I was praying in the crypt in New York, and I had prayed five intentions, really impossible things, three for other people, two for myself. And I, at the end of my prayer, and where his body was housed, it's now in Peoria, I said, if you help me before Jesus, if you help me obtain these intentions, I will promote you. And when I came out of the crypt, to my surprise, as a good PR girl, I turned on my phone right away to make sure I wasn't missing a beat. And I had an email from a priest I never met before, and it went like this. Dear Alexis, my name is Father Stanley Deptula. I'm the executive director of the Fulton J. Sheen Foundation in Peoria, Illinois, and I'm wondering if you would help me promote Fulton Sheen's cause in Southern Florida. And I was like, I almost got hit by multiple cars on Fifth Avenue. I was like, my prayers are getting answered.
How God works, right?
My prayers are getting answered, but I knew there was a catch. He was going to put me to work first.
Amen.
And that's what happened.
Amen. And so you wrote this book?
Yeah. And, you know, the book didn't come right away. I mean, I never went in the crypt thinking, and I'm going to do a book to promote you, and I'm going to do this to promote you, and I'm going to go speak around the country to promote you. I never considered what that meant. I just thought, you know, I'll pray for his cause. I'll tell people about you. But I never imagined to the lengths and degrees that God would use me to really advance his spirituality and his teaching and instruction as relevant for today. So the crypt prayer was around 2008. Flash forward to 2015, and I'm not working. I am unemployed. My faith agency had crashed that I talked about in one of the earlier segments. I was being deeply pruned by the Lord because he was getting ready to advance me. Little do we know, God lets us retreat before we advance. And in this moment, I was out of the blue getting contacted by a Hollywood international celebrity to help him on his movie. And I was like hesitant. I was skeptical of people like this. And yet the Lord was saying, he's my son. I love him. Help him. Work for him. Don't take anything from him. Watch what I do for you. The Lord was telling me, walk. Walk with me. Walk with me. Walk with me. It was like being blindfolded. How many of our listeners feel sometimes like you're being blindfolded and being led somewhere, but you can't see the end? If you're like me, I need to see the end before I even start. And so God wanted to knock that whole thing right out of me. And so I was walking with the Lord with this, walking with the Lord. I told this guy, no, I'm too busy. This is like too imperfect. I didn't say that, but it just wasn't fitting in the box of my agenda. So I said no. And then the Lord was speaking to me again in adoration. Walk with me. Walk with me. Help him. I was like, I already told him no, so he'll have to call me back, you know. Long story short, I help on this movie. The night of the premiere, an editor who I'd never met before, book editor, said, your name came up at an editorial meeting. We would like you to do a book on Fulton Sheen.
Wow.
Walk with me. Walk with
wow.
me. Walk with me.
Wow.
So a whole, like, you know, 2008 to 2015 is when this book started to become a seed. And little did I know, when the book was released in 2018, that we were just about to hit really big the next wave of the scandal in the church. And so God had the perfect timing for all of this. And it's been just a little offering back to the Lord of what he's done for me. And I will tell everybody, and you can read about it in the introduction, you know, more in depth of the juicy details of all this experience. But of those five intentions, four of them, all impossible, have been answered.
Praise God.
All of them.
With God, all things are possible.
One remains. So listeners, you can pray for that one final intention.
Should you? Do we tell them what it is?
Oh, the Lord knows what it is.
Okay, the Lord knows what it is.
The Lord knows.
My brothers and sisters, Bishop Fulton Sheen, to really pray for his canonization, I think is also very important.
Pray for his canonization. I mean, here's the deal. He's already a saint in heaven. No question, right? He's doing miracles. If I had several days, I could sit and tell you one miracle after another miracle after another, beyond the things that I prayed for in that crypt that day. I have seen him manifest in ways, in a personal way, that make heaven come so down to earth that I am blown away. And also with a sense of humor. This is a bishop who wants to lend his friendship from the heavens. Yes, the reason why we want to pray for the advancement of his cause, because it is good for the church to have Saint Fulton Sheen. It would be good for us to have an American saint bishop to not only pray for us in the media culture. I mean, everybody knows about him through the media, but this is a man who broke addictions. This is a man who brought sinners back to the church. This is a man who was a convert maker. This is a man who didn't take a drink a day in his life, and because of that sacrifice was able to obtain sobriety for the worst addicts. This is one who cared about the homeless, the leper, the outcast, ran with the elite. He was the one who was a matchmaker in making marriages. We need someone to be a matchmaker in this day and age. We need holy priests. We need a reverence of the Blessed Sacrament and a return to the sacraments. And we need the true food, the truth of the Bible, the way that Fulton Sheen presented it. We need all of that heroic courage in our bishops today.
Amen. Amen. Now, how do we get this book?
You can get it at Amazon, or you can get it through the Media Nuns at pauline.com.
And the title is?
It's called Fulton J. Sheen from the Ex Libris series.
Awesome, awesome. And we really highly recommend it. Now, both of us are on the front lines of the battle. Your background in Boston, you were involved in covering the scandal of the church.
Yeah, I was.
And at Spiritful Hearts, we always focus on the glass half full.
Right.
And you were looking at the issues and we're not sweeping them under the rug.
Right.
And there's still some of them are still there and
right.
things pop out. But I want you, with all of your experience, to also say, what is right about the church? Because so many times we don't hear that.
Yeah. I mean, and I always say, like, especially now, when we see young men becoming priests and young women becoming religious sisters and even men and women entering the Catholic Church during these times, you know that it's supernatural grace, right? Because who would come into the Catholic Church with the headlines that we've had in the past 20 years? But the reality is that the goodness of the church, it's the sacraments. It's Amen. The sacraments.
Amen.
And God uses the weakest of men, you know, and through priesthood, we have apostolic succession. And it's only through apostolic succession that we have the Eucharist. And that's what separates us from the other denominations. We talked about this earlier. We have available to us, not just on Sunday, but every single day, the ability to receive Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, in Holy Communion. It is not a piece of cardboard. It is not bread. Once the priest at Mass has transubstantiation, he lays hands, it is no longer the substance of bread. It is no longer the substance of wine. This is why we should be running to the church. We can't make church anymore, the Catholic Church, about celebrity priests or about a cult of personality. I think that's where we get into trouble, is when we try to conform to the world. But when we go back to the basics that Fulton Sheen talked about, when we go back to the Word of God, the Scripture, which, by the way, Catholics are into Scripture. We have several Scripture readings in the Mass every single day. So that is also something that is a complete falsehood about Catholics not being immersed in the Word. You're immersed in the Word as much as you choose to be. But we have designated Mass readings every single day. So Catholics listening, you need to get into the Word, get into the Eucharist, get into confession, get into the Holy Spirit, which comes through all the sacraments and through our sacrament of confirmation, most especially.
We are blessed. We are blessed to be Catholic. We're blessed to have a church that loves us unconditionally through Jesus Christ, through the sacraments. We're blessed to have Jesus as our Savior. So critical and so important. And we talk about divine mercy. A lot of people, it's amazing to me. I mean, I believe that we're still in single digits when people even remotely understand what divine mercy is all about.
Right.
Tell our audience, what is divine mercy and why is it so important?
Divine mercy is what the Lord gives us when he expired on the cross. I mean, it's a fundamental of our faith. So it's kind of amazing that we actually would have to have an obscure nun from Poland be the one to actually reform us. This is the amazing part about the saints. Yes, Catholics love saints. We have this whole, like, it's a whole football team in heaven to get us to the end zone, right? It's like we have these helpers that have gone before us. And for those who've never heard of the Divine Mercy message, it coming through an obscure nun in Poland, Sister Faustina, who compiled a diary, the Diary of Divine Mercy, which contains her own words and the words of the Lord about how his mercy is his greatest attribute. It's not what we did, but it's what he did. It's not what we did in our sin, but what he did to conquer our sin. It doesn't mean to say we stay in our sin and we don't change. We have to do the work on earth to eradicate our sin-sick habits. Our sinfulness, our sinful nature is always going to be there, but to run to him for the remedy, to run under his mercy. And it's profound. I mean, I think there's so much to say about his divine mercy for the sick, for the dying, for sinners, and even for people who are completely oblivious to his mercy. What I love about the divine mercy message from Sister Faustina and from the Lord, the mercy that God wants to distribute is not dependent on the sinner's faith, but on the prayer's faith. We can be praying in total fidelity through and to the divine mercy and receive the heights of glory for someone that we're praying for. It's not dependent upon what they think, believe, or know, but on the one who's praying.
My brothers and sisters, God loves you so much. Take a look at the 8th chapter of Romans. Nothing will separate you from God's love, neither height nor depth nor angels nor principalities, present things, past things, future things, creatures, nothing will separate you from the love of God, which is unconditional. We're going to talk more about that love of God and how you can attend a Divine Mercy Conference in your area. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and we're on Empowered by the Spirit. We'll be right back. We're going through challenging times without a doubt, and that's certainly true for ministries and nonprofits. The Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry is a 501c3 nonprofit, and we use our funds to feed the poor, to evangelize, to market in the sense of spreading communication about Jesus Christ to those that really are hungry to hear God's word. Please donate to us. Go to our website, spiritfilledhearts.org. Look under the donate button and donate any amount. We're also looking for those who want to be partners. Partners are someone that will donate on a monthly basis a certain amount of money, and we'll take any amount of money on a monthly basis. So you can contact us, drop us a note, and we'll give you a call and set you up to be a monthly donor. When you are generous, God is even more generous without a shadow of a doubt, as it says in Scripture that God loves a cheerful giver.
Go to spiritfilledhearts.org and click donate. That's spiritfilledhearts.org and click donate.
Hi, everyone. It's Deacon Steve Greco and three wows. Not two, but three.
No one has
ever had three wows.
It's a trifecta.
Wow! It's a trifecta wows. Especially since you put me in good company, too. You know? Anyway, Alexis Wachenstein, a publicist for movies such as Unplanned, Fatima coming up. You got others. Blind Eyes Open, right?
Blind Eyes Open. It's a sex trafficking documentary.
Oh,
and
wow.
A biggie, I Still Believe. Tremendous film. It's a love story. Gary Sinise, KJ Apa from Riverdale,
wow.
Shania Twain.
Amazing.
It is fantastic.
Oh, and that's what a blessing, right? That God has chosen you to be a publicist for these movies. But God has also chosen you to be a divine mercy evangelist. And as you know, and that's exactly what it is, right?
It is. And it's interesting because the divine mercy has been in my devotion in my life since, I would say, senior in high school.
That's amazing.
And I didn't learn it at home. I didn't learn it in church. Again, I was talking about how I had these opportunities through my pastor. He sent me all the time to receive. You know, it was like I was being formed very young. And I went on this archdiocesan retreat as a senior in high school. My parents were dropping me off, and I told them, I'm not staying. I had never stayed overnight on a retreat. I thought it was really weird. I didn't know what they were trying to do with me. And I was like, take me home. And my mom's like, just stay one night. Let me know how it goes. And so I stayed. You know, my roommate, the way that they set up these retreats, they were like older mentors. So she was part of the formation team. She was a freshman in college at Merrimack in Massachusetts. And we developed this incredible friendship because I didn't really have a lot of friends who were believers in this way, even though I had my CYO friends in the parish. But there was real devotion flowing on this retreat. And what I knew that I needed above all was friendship with other people who were like-minded. And God was breaking me out of worldly friendships and giving me really holy sisterhood and friendships. And so we would meet occasionally. She lived in Quincy, Massachusetts, and I lived in Framingham. We were like, I don't know, an hour and 15. No, she lived in Malden, sorry. But we would meet in Quincy, and we would like meet at an IHOP. We were poor, like high school, college. And then we would like sit in the car and talk about boys for hours. And then she'd just like slip in, do you want to pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy? And I was like, what is that? I had no idea what this chaplet was. I knew the rosary. I was devoted to the rosary as a child and a young woman. And Katie Fallon taught me the Divine Mercy Chaplet. And that was the beginning for me. And it became constant. And yet the Lord has taken me from those moments of praying the chaplet in the car, praying it myself and thinking this is a fast prayer I could whip through. It's not like, you know, the rosary, you got to kind of mentally set up some time.
Prepare for
you
it.
I got to set aside at least a half hour. And then if I'm really in the spirit, it might be an hour long rosary.
Right.
But the chaplet, you can like kind of Speedy Gonzales through it. But God doesn't really want you to have that attitude. But in your youth and in your naivete, it was kind of like, I can whip through this really fast and get all these graces. But the Lord, you know, in his goodness over time has really trained me in his mercy and how to really reverence his mercy and how to lead others to his mercy. And I'm grateful for that. And I have seen my life and events unfold outside of a rote praying of a chaplet to acts of mercy. And from those acts of mercy flowing conversion and miracles.
You know, for me, one of the many, and we just go on and on and on talking about his divine mercy. And again, we're going to be at these conferences, and we're going to get to them in a second. But one of the things that is so important is how God brings people in your life.
Totally.
For me, having you in my life through Myra Brown,
Myra,
our mutual friend, the devoted saint that she is, introducing us, I mean, just is the personification of mercy, right?
It's mercy. Yeah. You know, and, Who would think this connection?
Exactly. And so very important. And as Alexis know, and some of our listeners know, is that I had these series of dreams, three dreams, that the Lord said, I want you to spread my divine mercy, my love worldwide. Mm. And so I literally dropped everything. I talked to our partners here at Spirit-Filled Hearts, and I said, okay, change everything. We're now building Divine Mercy conferences. In less than a year, we have either held or scheduled 22 conferences in three states all over California. You're a big part of many of them. For example, on February 29th at Santiago de Compostela, we have Bishop Kevin Vann, who will be there, and he's a huge proponent. We have Alexis Wachenstein, who will be there. We have Father Scott Borgman, who will be there. We'll have Donna Lee, who is there, who is also giving her testimony. And so it's amazing, amazing time. We also have it at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton on April 18th. On April 4th, we have another one at St. Anastasia in Los Angeles. So all of you that are in the Los Angeles area, please come to that. And in Wilmington on May 23rd, all of those Alexis will be at. And we have others. Go to our website, spiritfulhearts.org, spiritfulhearts.org. It is so important. I am on the evangelization committee for the Diocese of Orange. Our whole ministry is based on evangelization. You're an evangelist. And yet you mention the word evangelization and it's like, people go, that's not for me, you know. And all evangelization means is spreading the good news. But we've kind of make a little bit of a pivot. We're still doing evangelization every way we can. But we're doing evangelization through divine mercy.
Yeah.
Because if people understand how much God loves them,
right,
everything changes.
I think that's the key, is that the world is so broken and so hungry at the same time. And what do they pick up for that food? You know, where are people eating for that hunger? And we have to be present as a church to be able to. Sometimes, you know, I might be ministering to someone and they're on the brink of a massive conversion. And I think to myself, who would I bring them to? Where could I send them? Where would the community be present to fan the flame for this person? And sometimes I'm at a loss because I can't find it myself, which is why I believe that God in this time is forming apostles of his mercy. We have to be apostles of his mercy in the church at these events that God is saying very directly, I need you to set up these conferences in obedience. He's going to do what he's going to do. But we have to live a life of mercy and be apostles of mercy so that wherever he takes our feet, God's not confined to the walls of the church. Because in this time in life, we know that not everybody is coming to the church to drink at the well and to eat the true food. We have to be able to have it living in us and oozing out of us and radiating out of us. Even if it's not words that we say, but the actions of our lives, the blessing of God's glory over our life becomes a point of attraction. It becomes the fire of the blood of Jesus that draws sinners to him living in us.
My brothers and sisters, who doesn't want mercy? We all want mercy. And yet, we also see that as we show mercy, so will we receive mercy. As we judge, so will we be judged. So it's so important that we live a life of mercy. Someone cuts you off on the freeway or on a street. What's your temptation? You know, you want to reach out.
Chase him. No, we're kidding.
Chase. Oh, boy.
It's a Boston driver. Just kidding. Chase him.
You know, you know, the flesh just takes over and you say, that's not me. And yet you want to, you know, the point is someone says something, an ill word to you or cut you off or something mean, unkind. You want to answer in kind. But what did Jesus do?
Right. The response is the cross. I mean, and He took it. And so it's not to say that we're to be a doormat, but we are to represent him in all of these in these ways. I mean, how many of us, every single one of us has been violated. Every single one of us has been broken by someone to the smallest degree and in some cases in the most egregious way.
Okay, you talked about way up there at the top. I think you have a 1A, 1B with Bishop Fulton Sheen. And then your 1B is John Paul II, St. John Paul II.
I think they're both on the 8th. They're like sharing
AA,
the One's on one side of me and one's on the other.
Deacon Steve Greco is down there.
Yeah, you're walking in front.
But in any case, what did St. John Paul II do? He was shot.
He was shot.
What did he do?
He met with his accuser.
He went to the prison.
He set him free. Because here's the thing. The people that are firing at us, they're broken. You know, these are broken people. And the miracle of an action like John Paul II, to be like Christ, to say, I forgive you, to take the first step, not to wait in a stingy way and say, I'm going to wait until they apologize. I mean, how many of us want to do that? We've all done that. We've all been slighted or disparaged. I mean, I've had some recent, real, unbelievable situations where the Lord has had to work it out all by himself. And you want to in your flesh. You want to fight in your flesh. And God is saying, fight in love by the power of the divine mercy. It's by my mercy that I will win the most hardened heart, the most dark sinner. I will win them and capture them in a net of love.
Please go to our website, spiritfulhearts.org, to see Alexis coming up. We have four conferences that she'll be at. Please come February 29th at Santiago de Compostela. Really, really important. Divine mercy changes our life. By the way, JP2 went to see that the person who shot him. What happened to that person? What did he become? A Christian.
He became a Christian. I mean, it's the transforming power of God.
Amen. Forgiveness changes everything.
Changes everything. And if you're coming to these conferences, I urge you to. Deacon Steve is anointed. He has received a word from the Lord. There isn't any one person that's coming to these conferences that will leave the same. If there is something impossible in your life that you cannot understand, confront, deal with, get rid of, add to, subtract, by the power of the divine mercy, you will have your results. We are seeing miracles at these events.
Amen, amen. A woman who was not able to hear out of one ear, we prayed over her in the name of Jesus. Jesus is the healer. And she started screaming, I can hear, I can hear. And many other miracles that are happening because God is the God of mercy. God is the God of miracles. Wonderful having you back on the show.
Thank you, Deacon.
Come back again very soon.
Yes.
You got three wows. No one else got three wows. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We praise you and worship you. We thank you for your gift of mercy. We thank you for your gift of love. We thank you for forgiving us unconditionally, loving us unconditionally.
Yes.
Heal us spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically. Send forth your Holy Spirit as tongues of fire upon us, that we may be apostles of mercy. Through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, through the intercession of Bishop Fulton Sheen, the intercession of St. John Paul II, through the intercession of all holy, heavenly angels and saints, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the intercession of Our Lady of Guadalupe, in Jesus' name, I bless you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Next week, we have the call to evangelize with Bishop Timothy Fryer. If you're not familiar with Bishop Fryer, who's a bishop of the Diocese of Orange, California, you are in for an amazing treat. This man is filled with the Holy Spirit in such a powerful way, and he has a call for evangelization, as we all do. We are called to evangelize. That's the purpose of the church. If you look at Vatican II, that was the essence of Vatican II. Every single pope has emphasized evangelization. John Paul II said, this is the supreme duty of the church and each of us within the church. So next week, the call to evangelize with Bishop Timothy Fryer.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit. This program is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For more information about our mission, visit spiritfilledhearts.org. That's spiritfilledhearts.org. And if this podcast has been a blessing to you, please consider partnering with us financially. Your generous gifts are the fuel to keep these powerful podcasts coming to you. Go to spiritfilledhearts.org and click donate on the front of the screen. That's spiritfilledhearts.org and click donate. And be sure to tell a friend about our program and encourage them to tune in as well. Until next time, may Almighty God bless you and protect you. On fire, Lord, I'm longing for your way.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.